Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so many things that have been happening. First of all, I've been using the small church music for our hymns, if you notice, because it's organ. There's been a change in YouTube. Instead of a 5-second commercial, it's a 10-second commercial, and it drops a lot. So I thought it's better to use this one because I know it works. And, you know, really, it's not bad. But we will be moving because Bing still hasn't changed. But, you know, we'll make that work. I was trying to think, what am I going to do today? Because last year I preached on the Beatitudes. And are the Beatitudes important? Well, sure they are. And again, as I keep on saying this, if you remember, gospel is what we receive, law is what we do. So if Jesus tells us to do something, is it law or gospel? Yes. It's both. Okay, because the thing is that Jesus is the one that's in charge. We're not. So I thought, all right, what am I going to talk about today? Well, obviously, we don't have readings from the book of Revelation a lot, do we? So I thought, what a great day to talk about Revelation. And as I was looking at this, I thought, all right, Revelation 7 goes hand in hand with the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 7. I find it very interesting because Revelation 7 and Daniel 7 deal with the same subjects. And I find that's interesting. Okay? Let's look at Revelation 7 one more time. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Put a mental note about white robes. I'm going to be talking about them later. With palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Now remember, today in one of our readings it says that it is important because of God and Jesus, right? All right, so I'm looking at this in Revelation, to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." George Friedrich Handel in The Messiah had a chorus called "Glory to God." Glory to God. Okay, you probably heard this. Anyway, the middle section, "and give him glory and wisdom and thanksgiving." Well, they don't have "and honor and power and might." Okay, where do you think he got that? Right here. All right, so the book of Revelation. Again, anyone, why is the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible? Well, yeah, it's about end time, so we're going to end the Bible with it. Pretty good, though. Wrong, but pretty good. Although you're right on what it is. Oh, man. All right. Why? Well, the last five books in the Bible are there because Eusebius or Eusebius, I don't care how you pronounce it, wasn't sure they should be in the Bible. Okay? When Constantine came together and said, all right, you want me to be Christian? You better decide what Christian is. So we had the Council of Nicaea, Nicene Creed. Well, the type of Christianity we have was not the mainline Christianity at the time. the mainline Christianity was the one that had the theology of adoption, where Jesus was not born divine. And so there was a huge debate in Nicaea. In fact, we had bishops fighting each other with swords on the floor of the cathedral. All right, so everybody, they finally came up with what they could agree on. And that means that Jesus was born divine and was not adopted into the position he had as Son of God. Well, when you take a look, like at Revelation here, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Does it say anything about the Lamb being selected? No, it's right there. Well, let's go and look at Daniel 7 and get an idea of what's going on here. This is the Ancient of Days reigns. As I look, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. All right, who's sitting on the throne? God. Then if the Ancient Day of Days is sitting on the throne, who was he? God. Okay. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. And the rest of this goes on and says how strong he is. It's like six or seven verses. I'm not going to go into those right now. But the next section in Daniel 7 talks about the Son of Man is given dominion. Now, we saw in Revelation that the glory and honor went to God and the Lamb, right? Okay, here. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there was came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Sound familiar? Wasn't that what I just read to you out of Daniel or out of Revelation? His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Let me read that part again. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. That's really acknowledging the divine nature of the Son, isn't it? All right, so today I'm going to tie this into what All Saints Day is. Halloween, we just had, what, Thursday night? Okay, the next day is All Saints Day. Halloween is not an evil holiday. Okay, I'm seeing some confused looks on faces. Halloween is All Hallows' Eve. All right, so All Hallows, All Saints. You with me? So it's the eve before All Saints Day. Well, what is the purpose of All Saints Day? It's to honor all the saints who have died, saints who have died in the service of our Lord, even though we don't have a name for them, we don't know who they are, but they still died for our Lord. Yes? Don't they deserve to be honored? I think so. So the night before is a day to ward off evil spirits, to set up All Saints Day. How do you do that? You put on costumes to scare the evil spirits away. How many of you knew that? So Halloween is actually a Christian holiday. Yeah, Don, had you ever heard that before? Well, it is. And the thing is that I don't know how many times I hear, oh, it's evil. No, it's not. It's the day we prepare and get rid of the evil spirits so that we can celebrate the love that these people had for us by giving their lives in the service of our Lord. Now, oh, Hollywood, yeah. No kidding. Go back to Revelation, all right? And I'm in verse 9 again. Read this one with me. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. That's what we had just saw, Jesus given dominion, yes? From every before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Okay, now I'm going to go back to... Why or where did these people come from? They came from the Great Tribulation. And so what did they do? Don't get ahead of me yet. That's, boy. Okay. Fran, it's all right. You know, we forgive you. All right. So what happens is we have this situation where... I shouldn't have gotten off track here. These people gave their lives. There are two, in the book of Revelation later on, there are two types of clothing mentioned. Okay, the first one is garments. Second one is robes. Where do we see garments a lot? Now stop and think here for a second. During the baptism service, what are the parents given when their baby is baptized? A candle and a white piece of material called a garment. All right, so we get garments at the time of our baptism. Where do you get a robe? You're on the right track. When you give your life for our Lord, your clothing is washed in the, what does it say? The blood of the Lamb and becomes white robes. So the white robe, in terms of messaging in the Bible, are those who gave all for our Lord. Stop and think about that for a second. So, if you give your life, what happens? You're rewarded, aren't you? You know, so as I looked at this and I started thinking about all the stuff we have here, there is so many things in the Bible that are there right in front of us. And I've talked about this before. But because we don't have a frame of reference for it, we can read it and we don't understand it. So, we have garments, robes. We have the Ancient of Days, which is God. We have the Lamb and Jesus, which are the same person. They both have dominion. All right, so then we go to Revelation 4, Revelation 22. Okay? I am what in 4? God says, I am God. I am the end of days. You go into 22, who says it this time? Jesus. So God and Jesus are like two pillars in the book of Revelation. Now, yeah, I know Revelation is so full of pictures and illustrations and everything, it's hard. When Eusebius put the Bible together, he sent out letters, okay? And he asked all the pastors and bishops and things, I want you to tell me what books you believe should be in the Bible and which ones shouldn't be in the Bible. Okay? And since it's Greek, it's prolegomena. You know what pro means? For. Legomena means writings. Okay? So the writings that you're for, anti-legumina, are the ones you're against. There was one book put into the Bible that didn't match that criteria. What do you think it is? Revelation. So why is it in there? Good question, isn't it? What does Revelation teach us today? That we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. We have nothing to worry about. We have everlasting life. And what Revelation talks about is that it's going to take the beast, all the bad stuff, and overcome it. Yep, you know, I could go on and read more of Revelation 7. Daniel 7 has three more pages, okay, where it talks about how God overcomes the beast, the horned devil, everything. I think it suffices us to know that God's going to win. And if he wins, remember what we talked about last week, is if Jesus is with the Father and we become one with Jesus, are we one with the Father? Do we have to worry then? No. The reason I brought up the thing about the Comforter today is this. When we get into regular John, not 1 John, the day of judgment in John is a trial. Okay? Who is the judge? Jesus. Okay? In Greek, he's called the Pantocrator, which is the judge of all things. Crater, creation. That's where we get the word creation. Okay? Panto means all creation to be judged. With me? Okay. So creation is actually a judgment. It's a judgment for the good, not for the bad. That's why I love Greek, because it can tell us things that English has difficulty with. So we're in this court case. All right. I'm going to make Gene. I like picking on you because you're in the first row. Okay. Gene is Jesus. Our Father. Okay. Don is the Holy Spirit. I won't tease you. I'll be nice today. I'm the one that's being judged. How's that? So I'm standing before Jesus. Okay? He's our solicitor. He's the one that's going to speak for us. He's the lawyer. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. If you're a believer who have tried to live your life according to Jesus, do you have anything to worry about? Not at all. That judgment's already been made. So, when he gets up there, I can just see Jesus. Well, what do you think? He needs to go on. All right, thank you, bye. That's what that's going to be that day. It's not going to be anything, oh man, am I going to pass the test? I did this one thing wrong. Did you ask for forgiveness? Yes. Are you forgiven? Yes. Pastor Don told me one time, anybody that comes into him for private confession, first thing that Don does is forgive them before they even open their mouths. You're forgiven. Oh, no, wait a second. I can't be forgiven. See what I'm getting at? Okay. Just due to the fact that you're there to ask for forgiveness, it's been done. You are forgiven. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have in our lives? We just stand there. Well, we don't have to wait. Well, I don't know how many times I've heard coming from good Christians, I haven't earned that yet. Where in the Bible does it say that we have to earn forgiveness and earn eternal life? Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. What does it say? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? That's why when we talk about this, we always use the word receive. Okay? And remember, oh, it's on this side, the cross. Okay? The cross is the best example I've ever seen of this. Because as the stuff comes from God, we receive it from the top of the cross, right? It moves into us. Then what does it have to do? It has to flow out of us. So if you are forgiven, but you fail to forgive and you stop forgiveness, are you forgiven? No. Pardon? As I forgive others. But I don't know how many people that always try and qualify that I've met. There's no qualification. If you're forgiven, you forgive. Now, I didn't say forget, and that takes time. But to forgive, that's the big one. Okay? We are human beings. Do we make mistakes? Yes. And we all do. I mean, that's just part of human nature. Steve, we're just talking about salvation. You don't have to worry. I shouldn't pick on him. But folks, I really think when I start looking at the pictures, the illustrations that are in Revelation 7, it should make all of us feel good that we know that God's got our back. And who did he send to do that? His son, Jesus Christ. May this assurance you get from Jesus Christ keep your hearts and minds on the salvation you receive. In his name we pray. Amen.